This is Arkies in the Beltway, a look at national politics and the Arkansans influencing the discussions. I'm Alex Thomas, Washington correspondent for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, reporting from the nation's capital. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Arkies in the Beltway for the week of June 9th, 2024. Friday marked 8 months since Hamas militants launched a large-scale attack on Israel, killing 1,200 people and taking 250 others hostage in the operation. As the Israel-Hamas war continues, family members of 8 American hostages have not wavered in pushing leaders to take any actions necessary to get their loved ones back. Aviva Siegel and her husband Keith were abducted from their home on October 7th. She recalls what it was like being in Hamas's captivity.
I do know that I was there for 7 weeks and 2 days, 51 days, and it was a long time sitting there in the dark, being quiet, starved. I lost 10 kilos.
Aviva Siegel was released in November as part of a brief ceasefire and hostage exchange. Keith Siegel, a North Carolina native, remains a hostage.
Very difficult for me to think that Keith is lying on the floor and being treated like I was treated. My heart is broken. I'm broken up into pieces.
Aviva Siegel was on Capitol Hill last Tuesday, joining other family members of American hostages for a roundtable discussion with lawmakers on the war's impact. The Congressional Task Force on American Hostages and Americans Wrongfully Detained Abroad hosted the discussion. Representative French Hill of Little Rock and Michigan Democrat Haley Stevens serve as the body's co-chairs. Stevens says releasing the hostages should be a nonpartisan issue.
What has happened and what continues to happen every day that these hostages remain disconnected, removed from society, removed from the grid, not connected to counselors, counselor access, diplomacy, and on, is a reminder that this is a ratcheting up form of attack around the world.
The event on the heels of President Joe Biden announcing Israel's plan for not only releasing the remaining hostages, but boosting humanitarian assistance with plans for rebuilding Gaza. Hill noting the arrangement is similar to Hamas's previous proposals. Leah Silvert's aunt and uncle, Judy Weinstein and Gadi Hagi, died on October 7th. Hamas still has possession of their bodies.
It's time for a deal, a ceasefire, and to bring our hostages home. And then we can start working on rehabilitation. We need to work on rehabilitation for the people who have been most impacted by this issue.
For now, all the family members can do is push for action and hope their loved ones are okay. Aviva Siegel says she does not want to lose hope that Hamas will release her husband.
I just hope that Keith will be able to stand on his legs and all the hostages and walk and be strong. I'm very, very worried about them. They've been there for too long. 8 months is a long, long time to be starved and tortured. The same people that did what they're doing now are the same people that did it on the 7th.
The families have held multiple meetings with American officials and lawmakers since October 7th, urging action in getting their loved ones out of Hamas's captivity. Former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson reflecting on the coronavirus pandemic. Hutchinson participating in a forum covering the United States' response to COVID-19 and hurdles in addressing future health emergencies. The event in the nation's capital, part of a collaboration between the Pandemic Center at the Brown University School of Public Health, the COVID Collaborative, and the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Hutchinson's final years as governor, dominated by the response to the pandemic, he signed a state of emergency in March 2020 when the first cases in Arkansas were discovered, but Hutchinson would rescind restrictions in the following months. Arkansas was one of a few states never to have a stay-at-home order, even as the state recorded record-high case numbers. Yet Hutchinson never dismissed the severity of the pandemic, even going on a statewide tour to encourage people to get vaccinated once those shots became available. He says responding to health emergencies is about finding a balance.
It's a balance between the science and the practicalities of living and what it means to our social health, our educational health, our culture. All of those are factors in the decision making, and that's why governors, I think, play a really key role, obviously, in dealing with that balance.
As Hutchinson referenced, one theme of his appearance involved the role of local and state governments in responding to situations like pandemics. He says every state has unique challenges, and while the federal government needs to play a part, it needs to be in the form of assistance to help states meet individual needs. Hutchinson making note of one matter specific to Arkansas.
We have in Arkansas a very large Marshallese population. Mm-hmm. And they worked in the poultry plants, which was essential, obviously, to produce protein during the pandemic. And we had to have special resources applied to assist that population.
The Journal of Public Health Research published an article in January diving into coronavirus vaccine hesitancy among the Marshallese living in northwest Arkansas. Researchers listed multiple barriers to vaccination, including negative perceptions of the vaccine and trouble accessing clinics. U.S. Senator John Bozeman spending the weekend in France to commemorate the 80th anniversary of the D-Day invasion. Bozeman and Connecticut Democrat Richard Blumenthal leading a bipartisan Senate delegation to the Normandy region, recognizing the largest amphibious assault in history and the Allied soldiers who confronted Nazi forces. Bozeman and Blumenthal were selected to lead the trip, given their seniority on the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. The senator from Rogers attended ceremonies marking the 75th anniversary of D-Day 5 years ago. He says the trip is an honor for all parties involved.
You look at the beach and you imagine, you know, wave after wave of young Americans coming, onto the land in such a difficult situation. When I'm confronted with these things, I always remember these were ordinary people that did extraordinary things.
Senators also using the trip to meet with diplomatic and military leadership stationed in Europe. The House of Representatives making progress on an honor recognizing country music icon Johnny Cash. The chamber last Monday passed a resolution to dedicate the Kingsland Post Office in Cash's name. Representative Bruce Westerman of Hot Springs introduced the bill in January. Arkansas's three other House members are sponsoring the legislation.
Johnny Cash's music has touched the hearts of millions, transcending generations and genres. Many people know and are fans of Johnny Cash, but some do not know he was born in South Arkansas, a place that holds a significant part of his story.
Cash was born in Kingsland in February 1932, although his family moved to Mississippi County 3 years later. But Cash never forgot his roots in South Arkansas. One notable instance happened in March 1994, when he returned to Kingsland to celebrate the opening of a new post office, the same one which may soon bear his name. Westerman speaking on the House floor.
With nearly 3,000 people in attendance, Johnny and his family performed the song, "Will the Circle Be Unbroken?" Johnny closed by saying, "This has probably been the best day of my life. I love you, and I love Kingsland." This incredible piece of history underscores the importance of honoring his connection to Arkansas.
Congress has the authority to dedicate postal facilities through legislative action. According to the U.S. Postal Service, 980 dedication bills have been signed into law since 1967. State Senator Ben Gilmore brought the idea to Westerman's attention following a suggestion by Wayne Cash, one of Johnny Cash's cousins. Gilmore says it may not be the most important thing Congress does this year, but the honor would mean a tremendous amount to the Cash family and residents of Cleveland County.
When you're naming, you know, a building after someone, it needs to be someone who deserves that recognition and someone who's, you know, had a huge impact.
The bill as a statue of Johnny Cash is set to be installed at the U.S. Capitol in the fall, that statue replacing one honoring James Clark, a former governor and U.S. senator who fought for upholding white supremacy. Officials are looking at dates in September for holding a public unveiling on Capitol Hill. And that'll do it for this edition of Arkies in the Beltway for the week of June 9th, 2024. You can stay up to date with all news involving Arkansas at arkansasonline.com. You can get in touch with me on social media. My handle is at Alex House Thomas. Special thanks to the team down in Little Rock. I'm Alex Thomas, and this has been Arkies in the Beltway. Thanks for listening.